your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful faith. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's sing it together again. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful faith. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. One last time, let's sing that together. We could turn to tonight. We've got quite a few prayer requests. I'm going to ask Brother Gene Lehman, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these. We'll read these to you here. I'll start with the testimony. Brother Keith Phillips wants to thank everyone for praying for him. He was sick, had severe fatigue, and the doctors have found a vitamin deficiency, so that's easy to fix. We thank the Lord for that. Brother John, looks like from Alaska, has an unspoken prayer request. Here's a brother praying for his wife, Connie Morangelo, and that there will be no complications when she has surgery this Tuesday morning for a knee replacement. May God richly bless you, and thank you so much. That's from Brother Danny. They go to Brother Homer Blanken's church over in Jonesville. So let's remember that, sister. Brother Jonathan Baker, sick, unable to be in service tonight. Sister Gerald Yance has a stomach virus, unable to be in church. Also, Sister Janet Kennedy has a sinus infection. Let's remember her. This is the Lytle family, has a request. It's for Michael Lytle, so if we could remember that. Please pray for Sharon Lute of Ohio, who's been diagnosed with advanced bladder cancer. The McFarland family turns that request in. Please pray for Jeff Bryant's mother-in-law. It's Mariola Sisk. She has blood clots in her lungs. Also pray for Brother Jeff's son, Daniel Bryant. He's just been diagnosed with lymphoma. So that's a very serious need to remember tonight. Brother Kevin Kitchen sent in two urgent unspoken prayer requests. Let's remember that. Another request for Sister Gerald and Jordan Hayton, also home, not feeling well tonight. Brother Tim Mullins would like for us to remember his mother, Joey Mullins, for encouragement for his mother and his dad also as he heals from surgery and the blood clots there, the complication that he's had. So let's just remember that. If you'll stand with me this morning, and this evening, Brother Gene, come. Let's take these knees to the Lord tonight.
Let's just bow our heads tonight. Father, we want to thank you tonight, Lord, for the opportunity we have, Lord, to come once more this side of the river. We want to welcome you into the service tonight, God. We want your will to be done. We want the Holy Spirit, God, to have its way. And God, that you would, Lord, open up our hearts, Father, to whatever you have, Lord, in store for us tonight, Father, because, Lord, your word says that we'd be better Christians We'd either be better or we'd be worse when we come. So we want to be better Christians when we leave here tonight, Father, than we were when we come. We want to be able to hear the Word. We want our hearts to be a womb that can receive the Word, Father. That, Lord, that we could grow and grow in You, God. That one day, God, we can be lifted up, Lord, and we'll be, go to meet You, Father. So we just pray tonight for these many needs, God, that's been read here tonight, God. There's many people that are sick. There's people that's in this congregation tonight, I'm sure, that has some kind of a ailment in their body, Father. There may be a heavy load that they're carrying, God. It could be a heavy burden, Father, that only You can lift tonight, God. But we know that You're a way maker. We know, God, that all things are possible, Lord. We know that You never fail. You never come short. Lord, You said if we'd knock, it'd be open. If we'd seek, we could find it, Lord. So tonight, Lord, we come knocking and we come seeking, Lord, for Your will to be done upon each one of these needs that's been read here tonight, Father. We may not know and not be able to remember them all, God, but they were read, Lord, in Your presence tonight, God. And we just pray now that You'll meet the very need of the service, God, that everything's done or said will be for Your glory, God, that, Lord, the Word would be anointed, that it would we'd receive it, God, knowing, Father, that one day, God, we'll be able to come and home, Lord, and be with You, Father. We're looking for that day. We're looking for that body change. We're looking for a rapture, God, to take place, Lord. I believe we're at the end time, God. I believe we've come down to the close of the age, Lord. We're just looking, Lord, for Your coming, Father. So we just ask now that You'll move, meet the very need of our lives tonight, God, and we'll fail to give You all the honor, the glory. We ask it in Your name, Father.
Thank You, Brother Gene. You can be seated tonight. Got a couple of folks we'd like to welcome to the service here. Brother Ron Shantos would like to welcome his mother, Mercedes Young, and his aunt, Evangeline Glass, to the service tonight. So welcome those folks. Glad to have you here. Yeah. Also, we'd like to welcome Brother David Gadman, an evangelist from Brother Homer Longoria's church. So welcome. Glad to have you in the service tonight. And I know we normally do the birthdays up here, but we got a happy birthday here for Jerry Phillips, 75 today. So God bless you, Jerry. Appreciate you. And we're going to try to learn a new song tonight. And the brothers have typed that in for me. I'd say everybody's heard this song, but hopefully. So jump right in real quick. And He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's that my soul ever longed for, everything He promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. Let's sing that again. And He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and my soul ever longed for, everything He promised, and so much more than amazing. Try one we're a little more familiar with tonight. Wasn't that love? F. In the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love?
What he came to do, oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? I'm glad he rose up from the grave so I could rise up today. Wasn't that love? He never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He heard the mob yell crucify, but he knew that he came to die. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that? Thank you. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
Amen. Brother Baker. I think Brother Baker has a song for us tonight.
Well, a woman one day tried so many positions. Oh, but only the worst in the Bible were told. And when she had heard, she then came to Jesus and found more. Needed for her body and soul. Oh, if I could but touch, oh, the hem of his garment. If I could but touch some part of his robe, I know I'd be healed. All my sins forgiven. If I could but touch him, I know I'd be whole. Blind Bartimaeus said, by the wayside begging, there was no one to help him down life's weary way. Oh, but Jesus came by and heard his sad crying. He came by and touched him and healed him that day. Oh, if I could but touch, oh, the hem of his garment. If I could but touch some part of his robe, I know I'd be healed. My sins all forgiven. Oh, if I could but touch him, I know I'd be whole. One day I was so down, by the wayside begging, there was no one to help me down life's weary road. Oh, but Jesus came by and he heard my sad crying. He came by and touched me and lifted my load. Oh, if I could but touch, oh, the hem of his garment. If I could but touch some part of his robe, I know I'd be healed, all my sins forgiven. If I could but touch him, I know I'd be whole.
Appreciate that, Brother Baker. Yes. Appreciate Brother Baker singing for us. He always does a good job. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come preach to us tonight. Let's sing I'm Amazed.
Well, I'm amazed.
that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Let's sing it again. I'm amazed
that wonderful? Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Let's turn tonight to St. John chapter 1, if you would. Verse 38. St. John chapter 1, verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? Now these are a couple of predestinated seeds that ain't been quickened yet. But they're following the sun around. He's just kind of going around. He's drawing them, but they just don't know what's going on yet. So he said, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Now, actually, the Greek word here, if you look at it up there, is meaning the anointed, which was the Greek form of the Hebrew Messiah. So it's actually pronounced a Messias. So we have found the Messias, Messiah. St. John chapter 4, verse 23. The woman at the well. Jesus speaking. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Isn't that amazing that God would seek worshipers? Not just want them, but actually look for them. I'll be one, Lord. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Now look at this word Christ, which is Christos, meaning the anointed, the Messiah, the Son of God. I know Messiah cometh. This is amazing to me because this woman is in an awful condition. She's living with her sixth man. And it wasn't the scribes and the priests and the Pharisees and the great religious leaders that was the first one to say this statement. As a matter of fact, they never did say it. But a woman in this kind of condition would be able to see more than they saw. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. So from those two places in the scripture, I'd like to address you tonight on the thought of the quickened Messiah. The quickened Messiah. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful tonight for your infallible, perfect word. We thank you for allowing these words to be written down, that we would be able to read them. Here we are today, thousands of years after they were spoke. But yet you watched over your word. You kept it. People tried to burn it. They've tried to destroy it. They've made it illegal. Different times they've tried to stamp it out. It's been smuggled. It's been hid because you ordained that it would be kept. And we're grateful. Yet, Lord, we realize that the written page itself can never save us. We could know it by memory and assign every word of God to our memory to where we could quote it. But if we don't believe it, it will do us no good. So I pray that we also would become quickened as we hear the word. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. The setting or the background of the scriptures is always such an important thing when you're looking to see where that you break into the middle of a conversation, which is what happens here in St. John 4, of this woman at the well. This woman, like James, Peter, John, the others that were looking for the Messiah, the anointed one, and yet they had to have an element of expectation, an element of truths that they were desiring to see. But at the same time, I imagine they had tradition, supposition, things that people had told them. Well, the Messiah may be this or could possibly be that or will probably be this. But yet, when Jesus came and he came into his position, once he was quickened himself, he was not quickened to just go around telling everybody, hey, I'm the Son of God. I'm quickened. Look what I am. I'm this. I'm that. You know, a person that's really quickened by the life of God never really does that just to be quickened for themselves. For we realize that we are quickened to a purpose, to serve a purpose of God. Now, your Jesus has been quickened by receiving the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And after that quickening power has come upon him, he is now quickened to serve the divine purpose of God. There were other people, of course, that were sent upon the earth to be redeemers. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Nehemiah that God had sent many saviors, plural, to save the children of Israel, but it was to save them from a king or a bondage, but not a savior as far as in the sense of a redeemer from sin. So God had sent several different deliverers and saviors to his people down through time, but none of them could actually go and loose them, as we were singing about, from the bondage of sin. So Jesus, when he's quickened to a divine purpose or a call, which was what? Not to be a know-it-all, not to tell everybody how much he knew, what he was, and all that sort of thing, but it quickened him immediately to serve the purpose of God. So whenever the quickening power then anointed him, what did it make him, as we looked at last weekend? It made him now the anointed Messiah. So he was quickened to the very purpose of God to fulfill what God had set him on the earth to do. Now here when it comes to the woman at the well, in the background, of course, being a Samaritan, those of you that had studied the Samaritans, you know that actually they are a mixture of the Gentiles and the Jews. It was a crossbreeding of them around 770 B.C. whenever the king had put them there and they was there to try to go in and populate this area, they would not allow them to come over in Jerusalem and worship, so they built another place on Mount Gerizim. So in there, they built almost identical temple to what was on the Mount at Jerusalem. But they were the most hated people of all the Jews. Now, the Jews hated the Romans and many of them, but they really hated the Samaritans. But yet, Jesus, being a so-called Jew, you'd think he would never come to this type of a woman, because you'd never find the priest ever speaking to her. Now, according to the rabbinical teachings, a rabbi or a teacher or a priest was never to speak to a woman by himself. He was never to go out of the way. Now, this is about 6 o'clock in the evening, because this is when the women come out to draw. Now, at this time, they had no running water. So in the evening and also in the morning when the women came out, it was a great socializing time. So the women looked forward to this time. But this woman was an outcast. She was ostracized by the Jews. She was ostracized by her own. So here she is by herself. The disciples went to the close nearby city, Sychar, to be able to buy victuals, the Bible says. So they went out to buy supper and they left Jesus there by himself. And then Jesus meets this woman. Now it's ordained of God, because the Messiah has now been quickened. But he's not quickened just to show what he is. He's quickened to the purpose of God. I keep saying that so you and I will be able to understand why we are quickened as well. We are not quickened to go around and show everybody what we can do. We're not quickened just to jump and shout, and we love doing all that. But that's not the only reason we're quickened. We're quickened that we can find the purpose of God for our life and then serve that purpose and serve it well. I don't want to just serve God. I want to serve Him well. I don't want to just be a haphazard Christian and sort of give God about half of what I am. He deserves everything I am. I want to serve Him with all of my heart. I want to preach to the very best that I can. I want to worship Him. I want to give Him everything that I am. I don't want to give Him halfway. I don't want to give Him 10th. I don't want to give Him 90%. I want to give Him the very best that I can do. I feel He deserves that. So here when Jesus comes to this woman, and they begin to talk a little bit, and he goes into a natural realm because he needs to contact her spirit. Her spirit is the information channel of this woman's being. Now when God designed us, He designed us thus that we were a triune being, and that is we have a soul, a spirit, and a body. We have 5 contacts on the outside. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. We have 5 contacts in the spirit: imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. And on the inside of the inside, we have 1 contact, which is choice. A free moral agency. So Jesus wanted to contact the information channel of this woman, so He strikes up a conversation. Give me a drink. No, she says, you being a Jew, you have no right to ask me, a woman of Samaria, to give you a drink. And Jesus said, if you knew who it was talking to you, you'd ask me, and I would give you water. Well, how are you going to draw? You ain't got no bucket. You ain't got no way. He was talking of one kind of water. She was talking of another. Now notice the anointed Messiah. He actually could have blown her away with all kinds of depths of great theology. He could have went so far above her head, but that's not the purpose of the anointed Messiah. There's no need in wasting time. There's no need in mincing with words. There's no need in trying to show how big we are, how great we are, how wonderful we are. Let's get down to the reason we are here. Let's get down to the purpose that we've been called, and let's serve it with all of our heart, our passion, our desires, everything that we are. Let's give it to Him wholeheartedly, and let's do it well. So He doesn't mince words. He doesn't beat around the bush. There's no need in going way back on and coming way up through here so that He can show her how much He knows, but He gets right to a point. So He contacts her spirit and He says, go get your husband and tell him to come here. I don't have a husband. You missed that discernment. The truth is you've had 5. And the one you're with now is not even your husband. Now once he contacts her spirit, it's like it shocks her soul. And now the quickened Messiah wants to further relate quickening power, and only seed can be quickened.
Amen.
So now why does he never tell this to Ephesus? You know what, imagine that they come to him and they said, tell us plainly, are you the Christ or not? He just totally ignored them. This woman didn't even ask. And he tells her. Now, I want you to think now, the Samaritans only held to the first five books of Moses. They did not read the book of Daniel, nor the book of Jeremiah, nor the book of Ezekiel, Haggai, Malachi. They did not read Zephaniah. They only held to the first five books of Moses. Where did she get this term, Messiah? Since it's not found in the first five books of Moses. Now watch, she's looking for something. She's searching for something. But yet, she did not get this from the teaching of the Torah. She did not get this from the first five books of Moses, because Moses never uses this term. He says, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like him unto me, but it's not the term Messiah. Daniel is one of the first ones to use this term. And the Samaritans do not read the book of Daniel. But God has a way of getting to his. Glory. Hallelujah. Now here she is. She's an outcast from the Jews. She's an outcast from her own kind. And she really don't have anybody that really reaches out to her. Nobody really can touch her. But yet here the Lord Jesus, out of his great, great journey to the earth, and he must needs go through Samaria. Oh, glory. He must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there's some seed over there that must be quickened by what? His life. So the quickened Messiah does what? He doesn't build a church. He doesn't go off here and make a denomination or make a system, but he goes to the very purpose that he's anointed for, and he is anointed to be Savior. So the quickening does what? It does not quicken him to make a following after his flesh. He does not want them to be Jesusites. He does not want them to follow his flesh. He wants them to be born of his spirit. Notice this in St. John 4:25. Look at the words of this woman. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Now, look at her perception of what the Messiah will be. Now, remember, they've only got five books by which they're able to pull this from. And that is that God will raise up a seed, God will raise up a prophet, and then through a little few types of Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But yet, where did she get this perception of what Messiah was going to be? Now, listen at it. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christos, Christ. When he is come, he will tell us these things. So where did she get this at? Where did she get this, that when the Messiah comes, he's going to tell us who God is, how God wants us to worship. Now remember what Jesus had just said. The woman, the God is a spirit. And the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers of God will worship him in spirit and in truth. And her reply is, I know Christos is coming. And when he comes, he'll tell us about God. He'll tell us how to worship God. He'll tell us the approach to God. He'll tell us the mystery of God. Where did she get this idea? It wasn't in the books of Moses. Moses never said that. Moses said he'll be a serpent bruiser. Nothing about worship. Nothing about the way of God. But because her expectation is in the right channel, the anointed Messiah, the quickened Messiah, unveils his very nature before her. Because she is of a right attitude to receive it.
Do you understand, friends? If we are not of the right attitude, we will not receive what God's wanting for us in this hour. We can have it in our mind. Oh, I believe the bride will do this and the church will do this and so-and-so will do that. But if we don't have the right mindset and we cannot be corrected from that mindset, He will do us just like He did them Pharisees. Tell us plainly, are you the Christ? Notice it's amazing when you look at this, because she says, I know Messiah's cometh, which is called Christ. When He has come, He will tell us all things. She was not looking for the Messiah to come and set up a natural kingdom as a king. She's looking for Him to be a prophet. She didn't say, I know when Messiah comes, He'll run the Romans out. When Messiah comes, He'll set up a throne in Jerusalem. But when Messiah comes, He will tell us things that we need to know for this hour. Oh, glory. Anybody here know what Messiah will tell us? If we're looking for one in this day, you know what Messiah is? The Anointed One? Have we got it right in our mind? Or are we looking the same way the Jews were? As I said, where did this woman get this? Should not she have went back to Genesis 49:10, when the scepter would not depart from His feet till Shiloh come? The lawgiver. Should not she go back to Deuteronomy 18:15? Should not she go back there and say, oh, I know there's going to be a king. Where did she get this idea that Messiah would set forth the anointed word and tell us of the nature of God? Now watch Jesus as He opens up to this woman things that He never uttered to public assemblies. Oh my. Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am He. Would He dare use the same expressions that that voice spoke out of that bush that was on fire, that said, I am that I am? Look, Jesus told her, I am He. To us speaking, English speaking people, that don't mean anything. But to a person who had been raised up looking for that and had heard Hebrew, oh no, for him to say, I am. Oh, glory to God. What was it? The identification. I am He. I know Christ is coming. And He said, you are talking to Him. Why? Because the quickened Messiah is here to do the Father's will. And that is quickened. Oh, friends, I wish we as the people of God of this hour could realize we're not on the earth to build churches. We're not on the earth to build hospitals and build following. Big, great, big followings. I wish preachers could recognize that. We're not here to build a following of this or a following of that. We're here to help the people of God. We're here to serve God's divine purpose, not make ourselves something. He could open the very mystery of who He was and say, I am He. Lord Jesus. I hope you can understand it. It's actually a great pleasure to Him to be able to, as the Greek word is apocalypsis, to take the cover off. To remove the veil. It is a great pleasure for our Lord to reveal Himself in apocalypsis. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now look. This woman is so stunned. She doesn't say anything. She signed. But the Bible says she left her water pot and went running into the city. Now, she doesn't, you know, go into a big bunch of theology and whatever more. Once Jesus unveils himself to her, oh, glory. Now that the quickened Messiah, glory, had actually quickened her, what'd she do? She forgets about her everyday occupation so much right now. She forgets about, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. She leaves her water pot. Remember, her water pot was the reason she came to the well to get water. But now she is so quickened by those words of Jesus Christ that she leaves it sitting there. She makes no answer. But her soul is illuminated because the anointed Messiah is further projecting that anointing. Oh, do we want to make disciples out of Donnie Reagan? Do we want to make Happy Valleyites? Or do we want to make more Christians friends? Do we want to make folks better children of God? Oh, my. Look at this. In St. John chapter 4, verse 40. After the woman goes into the city and she begins to witness about what the Lord has done. Oh, my. She said, come see a man. Now, do you realize what this involves? She's got to give vent to her past. Come see a man who's told me all that I've done. And these people wouldn't have nothing to do with her. The women of the city wouldn't even go out to draw water with her. She was so low down and so sorry. But they seen that woman was so on fire, they couldn't help it. They seen something got a hold of that woman. They said, Lord have mercy. If it could do that for her, what could it do for me? I'm a good old boy. Oh, my. If they could do something for her as low down as she is, what could it do? I ask you tonight, Happy Valley, if they could do that to a woman that lives that way, what ought it to do to us Christians that are filled with the Holy Ghost? Notice she responds nothing to Jesus. She leaves her water pot. But the quickened Messiah has now imparted some quickening. Now remember, she's not born again yet. She doesn't have hasn't received the Holy Ghost. But those words, a precursor of Pentecost, those words were so quickened, it illuminated that seed in her soul. It gave enough spark of life upon there until the full resurrection could come that she could say, glory to God, I'm not a harlot. This is not who I am. I'm somebody else. Notice now what happens in St. John 4:40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. Now remember, the Samaritans are hated by the Jews. You'd never find a high priest from Jerusalem doing this. Remember the parable that Jesus gave about the man that fell among thieves? The Levite passed him by, the priest passed him by, and the good Samaritan? For you and I, we honor that man. If you'd been a Jew, you'd have hated that parable. Because the Samaritan was a low-down, dirty dog to a Jew. Why in the world would Jesus use a Samaritan? He knows how to humble our pride, don't he? Come on. So he chose a Samaritan and he lifted that Samaritan above their Levites. He lifted that Samaritan in the parable above their priests. Boy, it must have burned them up, didn't it? You imagine Peter now, real good old Jew. John, a good old Jew. And he had to struggle with that old thing. But once he got born again, they got past color. Once he got born again, they got past racial issues. And if you ever get born again, you'll get past it too. A black man can hug a white man or a Chinese or an Indian and feel no animosity in his heart. So she goes into the city And starts telling them, can you imagine with this humiliation and embarrassment? Who am I going to tell? Who's even going to believe me? Brother Branham said, try to put her out. She's like a house on fire in a dry time and a windy day. Oh my, the kindling's already there. Everything's dry. Everything's ready. She caught on fire by the words. Why? Because the anointed, the quickened Messiah is now spreading the fire. Oh my, brother, sister, we've spread books. We've spread peace. I think it's time we start spreading some fire. We've spread theology. We've spread doctrine. But what about spreading some Christ? So they come because, simply because this woman witnesses. He's done something for me. Which I realize some of us wouldn't have done it because they'd been a woman. Now think about it, could you? Could you, Jim? Could you, Brother Terry? If there'd been a woman come into Johnson City? Come on now, brothers. Boy, she just set on fire. She wasn't preaching now. She just testifying what God done. What if we all went out in mass and said, well, the harlot down on the street there told us about it. Ain't no way we'd have sneaked out and went way back over yonder and come way back this way and sneak back around. Brother so-and-so told me you was here in a meeting. Liar. Is that former harlot? Why would he do such a thing? I don't know. He has all kinds of things he does I don't understand. But the thing of it is, will you move when he's moving? Why didn't he send Peter in there? Why didn't he get something there? I don't know. He just did. But if you'd have been hungry, if you'd have come, if it had been a sow hog that talked to you. If God had quickened some little old red bird on the side of the road and said, you better get up to church, there's a preacher up there, you'd have went right on. Said, who told you? Said, a cardinal on the side of the post down there told me. Some big fattening hog on the side of the road, a cow, a horse, I don't care who tell me. Just somebody tell me. So they come and they start believing. But notice what they said. Many more believed because of his own word. Now notice they turn around and say back to the woman and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that indeed that, listen, the Christ, this is months and months and months before Peter says it. Oh, oh, glory to God. Remember when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? These dogs, these outcasts had already said it. They didn't need the temple. They didn't need the high priest. Glory to God! They didn't need a high school of theology or some doctorate or some bachelor's degree. They had the quickening word of the Messiah. And there was the apostle sitting right there day in and day out. They never had one visit but Jesus 2 days long. And it made such an impact upon their life. They said, it is Christos. Glory! Hallelujah! Why the quickened Messiah? Listen at their understanding. We believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. I hope y'all can say the same. I hope you're hearing more than Donnie Reagan tonight. I hope when you play them tapes, you're hearing more than William Branham. I hope you're hearing more than Terry Horn and Darrell Ward and Amos Cutts and all these other preachers. I hope you're hearing him. For we have heard him ourselves and know this is indeed the Christ. Look at these words. The Savior of the world. Thank you. You never find the Jews saying this. Why? Because their idea of the Messiah was he was sent to them and them only. Even after the apostles received the Holy Ghost, they're still struggling with that thing about the Gentiles. They jumped all over Peter because Peter went down there and preached at the household of Cornelius. And God chose to give some of them the Holy Ghost. And man, they like to beat Peter to death. But with the words, they whooped up on him. They talked about him like he's a dog and said, man, it wasn't my fault. I wasn't the one that sent the Holy Ghost. I was just up there preaching the word. He fell among them. Only why? Because they're still struggling with what they thought Messiah would be. But these Samaritans said the Messiah is not just the Savior of the Jews. He's the Savior of the world. Jews, Samaritans, Gentiles. Look at how more full he could reveal his character to them because they were not so boxed up and so held in such tight theology. I wonder, my friends, as we go to looking for a Messiah, a church, an anointed people, an anointed bride, may God help us that our theology will not be so boxed in and so tight. That we have so many preconceived, I believe the Messiah will do this. I believe. But is what you believe really right? Is what I believe really right? Or have we limited him? Oh, he's only going to do this for the bride. Or he'll only do this for Happy Valley. He'll only do this for so-and-so. You better watch. Oh, glory. Oh, my. This is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, you imagine this little woman as she's sitting there at the meetings. Her life has been changed. Not only was it changed for herself, it was changed to share. Now, some of you may be called to share with more than others are. Maybe some of you are gifted in such a way that you can just be able to tell others, and maybe some cannot. Maybe some of you have a struggle trying to witness and trying to share. But listen, don't compare yourself to this one or that one. What you want to be is what God wants you to be. I'm not your example. You're not my example. Brother Jim is not yours. You're not his. What we want to be is God. I want to be exactly what you want me to be. Some of you sitting here, a preacher say, well, I was in the hospital and I witnessed to this man and that man and that man and that nurse and this and that. And they say, man, I was in there too. I didn't feel bad to talk to nobody. Well, don't feel bad. Lots of folks don't feel that way. But that man is not necessarily your example. You have to be the anointed bride in the little part of the corner God put you in. Don't try to compare yourself to someone else. Don't try to be someone else. Just be what God's made you and be happy. Hallelujah. A 2-day visit causes more of an uproar and a spiritual move with God than being born in Nazareth and living there most of his life. Why? Their attitude toward him. So here in Samaria, they're able to see part of the mystery, the very mystery of his advent to the earth. Where did they get these words? Where? The quickening is on the earth. The Messiah has now been quickened by the power of God. And the seeds are on the earth to come into that illumination. And it's like the revelation is breaking. It's breaking. And he asked the disciples one day, who do men say I am? Well, some say you're Moses, some say you're Elijah. Message, folks. Looking for a reincarnated ministry. Oh, glory. Well, some say you're Moses, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah. Ain't that amazing? They're all looking for somebody that's dead to be raised back up and come back again. How come the Samaritans didn't say that? How come they wasn't debating and arguing? Why, friend, it come time for the sun to rise in Samaria. Oh, glory! It come time for the sun to rise in Samaria and start them on the way to a quickening. So who is the Messiah today? The end of February in the year 2012. This we read here tonight, almost 2,000 years ago. Yet the Bible says, I'm God and I change not. The Bible also says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we were in search for an anointed one, what would you and I look for? Now, certainly we have more than the five books of Moses. We've got 66 books in a Bible. We've got hundreds of sermons from a prophet's message. Sermons from all kinds of preachers on the internet, on radio. Printed books. All kinds of Bible software by which we would be able to search to try to find the anointed one. For truly, we don't need a membership. We don't need just a dry confession. But what we need is an anointed one or ones that will be able to be the voice of God and tell us what is current events. Amen. And not point back, well, God did, God was, God used to, God did. That's not an anointed Messiah. That's a reporter telling what God used to do. I don't need a report. We're standing here today saying that God used to heal 40 years ago, and it was a wonderful time back here in the 1950s and 60s, but alas, God don't do that no more, and all we're supposed to do right now is just go to church and try to do the best you can, and God knows if you can't live right because He knows we're in the last days. This is it for CNN News. Good night. I don't want no preacher reporter telling me how bad it is and how weak God is. I don't want no preacher standing up here and telling me, well, I wish it could be this way. And I wish I had some good news. I'm going to tell you I've got good news. Amen. I'm not going to tell you that He was alive. He used to heal. He used to save. I'm going to tell you He still does. He still heals. He still delivers. He still sanctifies. He still fills with the Holy Ghost. The thing is, can we say, as the Samaritans did, He is the Messiah? Now, I'm not talking about an individual so much now that I'm pointing to, but I'm talking about a risen Savior. He is the Savior. He is our body changer. He is our healer. He's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha. I am that I am. Hallelujah! But who would be the one to point us in the direction? Would it be just a preacher that has a lot of psychology, that can speak a lot of positive terms and a lot of great things and teach you how to be prosperous in this life? I don't want to be prosperous so much. I want to be changed. I need to hear something that will one day speak to this skin right here. And these gray hairs that I've got, and these wrinkles that some of you folks have helped put in me, and all these worried lines and all that sort of thing. I want a gospel that will speak to this body and turn me back to a young man. There ain't enough positive preachers alive to do that by power of positive confession. You can name it and claim it. You can claim all of that you want to, but brother, it won't do you one bit of good. We've got to find the Messiah. Oh, you say, I thought that search was over a long time ago. Oh, no, 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 no. No, it's not over. The Republicans are looking for a Messiah now that'll deliver them from Obama. The blacks thought they got their Messiah and they got him. Didn't take them long to realize they didn't. The Democrats thought they got him, at least once had any sense. So they come to their senses. Some of them still ain't come to their senses. They still vote for him again. So there you go. So some of them looking for a Messiah in Germany. They got one. His name was Hitler. Amen. Italians look for one. Benito Mussolini. They got one. Amen. The church is looking for one. And so are the real people of God looking for the Messiah. Now remember, I'm not talking about a man, a certain group that'll raise up, and everybody will rally around that man. We've had those things, and those things have passed, and that's not what the Word points to. But what does the Word tell us after the coming of that one man that it would be? It points to a body move. A body. Christ will present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. A body. So in our ranks, in the message, for years folks have looked for him to come after Brother Branham. Some folks thought it was Brother Coleman from New York. Some thought that it was Brother Biscoe. Some thought it was Brother Pruitt. Most of them knew it wasn't me. They sure knew it after Here I Stand. Because Here I Stand, Here I Fail. Many of them think it's Brother Branham's son, Brother Joseph. So the search is still on. Is it this group? Is it this camp? Is it the spring camp in Louisiana? Is it the Stillwaters camp in Indiana? Is it this camp over here? Where is the Messiah? The quickened glory. Where is the quickened Messiah? Is it a certain man? Is it a certain group? Just in one location? Is it a certain building? I mean, if there's something in our hearts hungering like these men were of our opening scripture tonight, whenever they go and say, come, we found him. We found, come and see. We found the Messiah. Well, if we can find him or it or them or they, whatever it is, then surely we would want to go there or move there or be there. But Jesus knew that people would search for a group or a location or a man, so he said, when they say, lo, he is in Sarah Vesta or in the desert or in, don't go. Lo, if they say the only church is in Johnson City, don't believe it. If they tell you the most perfect church is in Cloverdale, if you're going to be in the rapture, you got to do that. You just know they're liars right off. If they tell you the most perfect church is in Krefeld, Germany, you know they're off the word. Now what if I were to tell you tonight I'm the only person in this building that has fingers? Don't hold your fingers up to me. That don't make no difference. I'm the only one that's got, you ain't got fingers. Why do you have a right to claim fingers? Because you're a human being and a human body that God designed with fingers. So then it would be foolish of me to say I'm the only one that's got fingers, as it is foolish of preachers and people to think and project they're the only one that has some type of monopoly on God. It makes just as much sense to say, I'm the only one that's got fingers. Oh no, I'm the only one that's got these fingers, but I ain't the only one that's got fingers. It's the same way, my friends, with the move of God. I've seen Him move in Kenya one day when I was there, and there was no building to have church, and hundreds of us gathered out under a great big old gigantic tree. And guess who showed up? Jehovah. Jehovah, why? Because He gathers where the body is. So where is the Messiah? Where is the anointed Messiah? The Christos of God for this day. Because truly in every day God's had him. Jeremiah was Christ in his day. Moses was in his day. Ezekiel, Zephaniah. We know that. Peter was in his day. Him and James and John. But notice it wasn't one man. Now the Catholics made a pope out of Peter. James and John never did. As a matter of fact, Paul rebuked him because he said he was wrong. What a way to do the pope. They never looked at Peter as no pope. They looked at him as the way they looked at themselves, as a human being that was saved by the grace of God. What's this in fellowship in 1960? Brother Ben says the anointed one today is the Messiah church. This church. The church of the newborn. Now let's look at it like this. So when Jesus comes to the earth, He walks upon this earth as a full mature man, a human being, but also the anointed one. But in spiritual representation, He was the head. Okay? So now let's look at Jesus, the Christos. As His first advent on the earth, He was the head. But a body is not complete without fingers and toes and arms and limbs and all that sort of thing. Yet, He chose to represent Himself as the head of the body. Even in the resurrection, the prophet identified Him as the head. Glory! So then where was His body? When the sheaf was offered at 50 days after His ascension on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were gathered together in one place in one accord, and the Spirit began to come as the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and set upon each of them, amen, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. What is it now? Here comes the same Logos. The same Logos that had dwelt in the fullness of Jesus in the Godhead bodily, and now He is dividing Himself by portions. What is He doing? He is anointing the rest of the body. Oh, glory to God. He is anointing the rest of the body so the complete mystery of Christ can be fulfilled. What's this? The church has come through water, faith by hearing, through the blood, cleansed life, through baptism of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is the anointed one. The Messiah church, glory, why? Messiah church will have signs of the Messiah in it. Sure, because it's the Messiah church. It is the church of the Messiah. Amen. You act drunk. It's because I am. Drunk on that new wine. Oh, glory. I ain't never had a sip of alcohol in my life. I ain't never had a sip of whiskey or nothing like that in my life. I ain't never done none of that. But I've been touched by the power of God. I'm drinking from another vine, my friend. I'm drinking from that vine of the anointed one. Hallelujah. And it's not just for the head, but it's filtered on down into the body, that the body can continue the same work as the anointed Messiah. We are not Messiah Ben David. We are Messiah Ben Christ. Now you see what the church means? Church means a called out bunch. A called out people that's governed only by the King of the Messiah Kingdom. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I love that. He says, the kingdom, the Messianic Empire. Nimrod had a great kingdom. The first black man to ever rule the earth. Nimrod. Nebuchadnezzar had a great dominion. But it was divided and torn to pieces. I've stood in many of the ruins of the world. The Incas, the Mayas. Where are the Hittites today? The Philistines, the Amorites. Where are the great former civilizations that used to exist upon the earth? And they go today and dig around in the rocks and try to find their buildings. And try to figure out what happened to them. And it's like they just vanished from the earth. A civilization so mighty that we're just now catching up on some of the things they've done and what happened to them. A civilization so mighty that they could have running water and plumbing and have indoor bathrooms. But yet they was not ingenious enough to protect their own race. They ceased to exist. The seven wonders of the ancient world, where are they? Nothing but masses of heap and rubble. Memories, nothing but historical things. And a lot of them we don't even know for sure. Well, they might have been here, they might have done. That's why, because they ceased to exist. But this kingdom will never. Oh, glory! Amen. Nebuchadnezzar, when he was alive, you'd mention his name, people would tremble. When Nebuchadnezzar, Dan, the captain of his king, my, they would tremble hear him coming. When Napoleon would come, they'd scare the children to death by the name of Napoleon. When Alexander the Great conquered the known world at the age of 32, yet got into a swampy land, bitten by a mosquito, and died of malaria. Part of his kingdom went this way, part went that way, part went that way. Why? Because God saw it and gave it to a prophet in a vision. Where is Alexander's kingdom today? Oh, part of it went to Alexandria and built up the new city in Alexandria of Egypt. It went here and it went there. And what is it? Where is the great pharaohs? Where is the great pharaohs that their tombs stand there? Where are they? But this kingdom, my friend, will never come to an end. When there is no more pyramids, when there is no more devil, when there is no more cancer, when there is no more sin, when there is no more time, we will still be a part of this messianic kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. And you know what's amazing? Some of the weakest people that have ever lived on this earth make it this kingdom. It's not great, mighty people that can stand there. How much is that? 750 pounds. A lot of us do good, do 45. I did it. 41 pounds. Man. It's made of some of the weakest, puniest people that ever lived on the earth. And yet God has done the greatest marvels that's ever happened out of anybody's life. Could Alexander and all of his power
take away what one of you daughters of God have got. You go home after church tonight and your baby wakes you up in the middle of the night, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, screaming, crying with a fever. You go in there by its bedside and you lay little feeble hands over on its head. Lord Jesus, I do this in obedience to your word. You offer the word of prayer, and all of a sudden, in a few minutes, that baby goes to cooling down. What Alexander would give for that power. What Nebuchadnezzar would give for that power. What the devil would give for that power. And yet you have it as a daughter of God. You may never sing a public song. You will never preach a public sermon. But you hold within you the messianic empire. Oh, hallelujah to God. It is the King and the Messiah and His empire. Notice this in the Messiah, 1961. Can you imagine this being preached at Jack Morse Church in 1961, a Pentecostal preacher? When God was made flesh and became the Messiah, if we can yield ourselves to be the anointed like He was, we become Messiahs. Little lights. Glory to God. You'll never be as great as He was. Who wants to be in all reality? Let's be sensible. Ain't none of you in your right mind want to be Jesus. You don't want to be a Savior. You couldn't save yourself. Much less anybody else. Those of you that are really born in the Spirit of God, all you want is your position. You want your position. Don't you understand? The battle for life is the struggle for position. Why? Because that was the original fall, as we looked at Wednesday night. It began with the struggle for position. And that's the thing, friend, all of our lives. Now we're learning and learning and learning to submit to the presence of God. And we get our own selfish motives and desires out of the way and just become what He wants us to be. Because many times what He wants us to be is much less than what we think we're capable of doing. Which is the opposite of psychology this day. If you think that you can do it, be more, be more, be more. That don't work in God. The prophet of God said even your own experiences are predestinated to you. Do you understand if you go to praying and fasting and open yourself up for visions and visitations beyond what you're called to be, you're inviting demons into your home and demons into your experience? I don't want to see visions if I can't handle them. I don't want to do that if I'm not called to do it. I'm going to be only what God knows I can handle. Well, you say your goals ain't very high. They may not be very high, but they're sensible. I don't want to be nothing more than what God's called me to be. That's all. Many of us want to be like all these lights in here tonight. Oh, you walk in a building, you want to just be, oh, oh, who's that? Oh, oh. But what if God made you one of them little teeny flashlights? I've got an app on my phone. It's a flashlight app. Some of y'all probably got it. It's a little bitty old thing. But man, is that thing really appreciated when these ain't around. If I drop my keys or I drop whatever, and I'm trying to fumble around and trying to find whatever, and I reach down in my pocket and go over and touch that little thing and flips on that little battery operated light, boy, do I appreciate it.
Is it anything like this? It's nothing like it at all. And it would certainly not be appropriate, because if I hold it up like this tonight and preach by it, it's going to scare you to death. I'd have to hold it here and read my notes and then hold it out there and shine it on you. It's not appropriate for that. But it's appropriate for what it's an app for. Oh, glory to God. Some of you think you're a million megawatt app. Come on, get next to yourself. You might not be but a 0.000000000002 003050607 0908, and that's your app. But be your app, my brother. Be your app. Be what God's made you to be. You're in the Messiah's kingdom.
Notice this. What the church is supposed to be, lights. Little anointed ones. So the whole pillar of fire came in Jesus at Jordan. Oof. Fullness of the Godhead bodily. But a lick went in Peter. Oh, what did Peter got mad and said? Well, I wanted the whole thing. Well, if I can't have the whole thing, I ain't asking for nothing. A lick went to him, one there, one there, one there. Women, folks sitting there, how many more there were. God dividing himself, that was the app for their life. They couldn't handle the whole thing. They was not called for the whole thing. They were called for that lick. Man, I'm telling you what, if a lick makes me feel this way, I can't imagine what two or three it did. Oh, glory to God. Notice this, he said. There's God's church. His standing light is the light of the Messiah. Risen Christ. Where though? In his people. The anointed ones. Carrying forth his light into all the church ages. Sometimes it almost goes completely out. Then it comes back again. God's anointed one, God's Messiah, church. If Messiah means the anointed one, it means king. Then if the church is anointed by the Messiah spirit, it becomes a lesser, but still a Messiah. Because it has his light, reflecting his power, reflecting his glory, reflecting the dominion. So it is Messiah. And how it reflects him and his kingdom. Is his domain. This must be completed before we leave. The dominion, the spiritual dominion of the King of Kings must be filled before we go into rapture. He is not the only king. He is a king of kings. God told Satan, I will lay thee before kings, whether or not you understand it. The spiritual forerunner is going on right now of God opening up the kingdom of Satan, even as we Wednesday night looked at it, to realize and laying him before kings. His tactics, his nature, his motive, his desire, everything that he wanted to become, and laying him right open before a king, son. Right now, my friends, we are in a domain of the Christ. We are in a dominion. It's not just here at Happy Valley. It's wherever they will receive the anointed word of this hour. Not pointing back to a historical Christ 1900 years ago or 50 years ago. But become the living voice of the living God. And let him articulate his expression out of our own lives. Let me close. Notice this in the very next paragraph. Now that is true. God called Messiahs. God called us. And we become kings. Kings. And priests unto our God. You look at Darius, Ptolemy, the first, second, third. You look at many of these kings, when they went on a conquering revival campaign, their kingdom expanded so great, there's no way they could be at one place and be able to really rule it. So they would put men under them. Make them magistrates and make them this and that and the other. Well, he would rule from Alexandria, or he would rule from Greece, or rule from Rome. But they were set there in that local city. And their word became law. Because if they were in close harmony with Darius or Ptolemy or Pharaoh, whoever it was, they was afraid to move without knowing their authority. And if they had his signet or his ring or his declaration, great king, tell me, what am I to do? Tell me, I don't want to go there and disobey you. Tell me, what am I to do? I want to remain in your favor. I do not want to disobey you. You obey my laws. Do this, this, this. The taxes do this, this, this. But what if this arises and there's no quote? Man, that was good. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! You are my regent! You are my magistrate! Speak on my behalf. You might not speak against Ptolemy. You might not speak against Pharaoh Necho, but if you spoke against that magistrate, you might as well have walked up before Pharaoh himself and said, you are a pig. Because this is his representative. But if you did something for this vice regent or this magistrate, and it would work its way all the way back to Pharaoh Necho, and it was said this certain man in this certain kingdom come up to the vice regent and saved his life. It may take it months before it comes and goes, but it'll work its way back down. And one day you receive a great tribute or an honor from the Pharaoh himself. Not because you stood for him per se, but because you stood for his representative. Our Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven and divided his own life down through seven church ages. He gave it by portion into the divine gifts. They would be set in certain areas. Out of those would come a church age messenger. From there would come other God called men. They would spread forth the same illuminary light of the gospel of the age. They would represent the king and the kingdom. The elect would hear that word, be born again, and make it in the rapture. They are there on the earth as his lights. Who's saying? God called us. And we become kings, not will. Not will. Not in the millennium. John catches in the book of Revelation said he has made us kings and priests unto our God. And we shall reign on the earth. We're getting our reigning experience now. Don't you understand? You will leave this hellhole one day and go straight into that beautiful city of God. You will not need a refresher course on heaven. You'll not be caught up over here for a year and there for another year and there for another year and there for another year in preparation, getting you ready to walk down the streets of gold. You're getting it as you're sitting on these pews. Glory to God. Friends, he looks at his gospel and his ministers in a more revered and a more elevated, precise way, I'm afraid, than we do. In our own minds, would we look at it to be feasible, reasonable, and just? to take a people from this earth, listening to sermons, fighting battles, going through things that they're going through, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, a change sweep over them and change them back to a young man or a young woman. And in less than a second, twinkling of an eye, which is a moment of time that is so small, it's indivisible. It cannot be divided. And that quick, you'll be in another body headed to heaven. 5 minutes before that, you walked out of the mall in Johnson City. 5 minutes before that, you walked out at Walmart, insulted by people around you, dressed filthy and ungodly. You might have heard somebody say a curse word 5 minutes before that. And 5 minutes later, you're sitting at the marriage supper. Can you imagine if you'd get an invite to go to the White House and see the president? Or go somewhere and see some king somewhere, a queen? I mean, I don't know about you. I'd want to know the protocol. I'd want to know, what do I do? I might differ as far east is from west from our president's politics. But he still is the president of the United States. I wouldn't want to walk in and say, how you doing, man? I got a few things I'd like to say to you, old boy. There ain't no way I'd do that. I'd want somebody to tell me, what's the protocol? How do I respect this office? What do I do to this man? Tell me, what do I do? Wouldn't you? Well, don't you know that God knows you don't know how to walk down the streets of gold? The only way you've ever known him is a veil has been between you and him all your life. So God gives you the very best preparation he could give you. Gifts. Gifts. Divine gifts to preach to you the word. And one way you'll know that they are divine gifts and that they are part of the anointed Messiah ministry is they're telling you who God is, the way he is, what he wants, how he wants to be worshipped. And then all of a sudden the change comes and a sweep moves over us. Like that. We walk out of this building, out of your house, wherever it is, and you just start taking a journey, a dimensional travel. It's amazing to me. I flew different parts of the world. I flew over the top of the North Pole before. One of the very few first flights that Russia ever allowed a few years ago. I was on that flight. Commercial airliner. And the pilot came on and said, this is the first flight that's going to be allowed to go over into this airspace. So we flew over the top of the earth this way instead of around. And yet when I got there to China, I was so wore out. I had jet lag. Y'all know what that is? I flew to Johannesburg several times, third longest flight in the world, 19 and a half hours from Atlanta to Johannesburg on one plane without stopping. It takes me 2-3 days to catch up. But yet I can text those brothers or call those brothers and email those brothers. In seconds, they get my words. It takes 19 and a half hours for my body to get over there. Why? God has reserved that travel for his own. Not just to go preach meetings either, but for the change. Why is it our words, by fax, by telephone, by television, by all of that? Why can my image right now, people in Norway, people in China, people all over the world streaming this service tonight, and they're hearing what I'm saying. It's just seconds after I say it. They're hearing it and getting it. Yet for me to travel to them, some of them would take me days. Because he's reserved that travel for kings and priests. God called us and we become kings and priests like Jesus was, God's high priest. We become a lesser priest. Jesus was God and fullness dwelt in him to shine forth the expression of God to the world. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And as God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, God comes into his church and anoints him some messiahs. Oh my, do you see it?
The same things he did in his church, the same power he had is in his church. His church becomes his dominion. And he's king over his dominion. And we are kings and priests offering spiritual sacrifices to God. The fruits of our lips giving praise to his name. Amen, oh my. There you are. There you are. Messiahs. Messiahs. Little messiahs. Little anointed ones. Anointed off of what? The main one.
Glory. Glory to God. You see what Messiah is. Messiah is the kingdom of God. Anointed ones. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray I've been able to make this simple enough to understand it, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would help us to see. I've been allowed and privileged by you to travel to different parts of the world and see different things. As I stood several years ago, Carol and I, Brother George Smith in Mexico City, and saw the ruins of the Mayas. Lord, as I've stood out in different parts of Arizona, New Mexico, and see the ruins of the Aztecs or the Incas and Rome and Egypt and Jerusalem, Germany and different places of the world where dominions and kingdoms, kings or rulers once set up their thrones. Yet today, their name is only something that fills the pages of history. Napoleon, Alexander the Great, Nebuchadnezzar, pharaohs, Ptolemies, different ones, Cleopatras, Mark Antony, how many could we mention? Julius Caesar. And as they started out, even as Julius Caesar himself started out with the name of Julian, then as he conquered and became a general, on and on and on, each victory, he became named a different name. Till he became Pontifex Maximus. And then he gained all these titles, signs of victory. Yet where is he today? The kingdoms of the world have come and gone. They're nothing but dust and ashes. You left some rocks here and some buildings there to show that they did live. But now they're gone. And Lord Jesus, we know that they're all, those wicked kingdoms, are part of the kingdom of the north, which started many years ago in heaven. Because they inherited the nature of that king and never desired to change, they perished, as will his kingdom. And Father, we realize that we also came to the earth contaminated with that same thing. We couldn't help being born that way. But we don't have to stay that way. You've made a way, Lord, that we can leave the kingdom of Satan and be born anew into the kingdom of God. As you told Nicodemus so long ago, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we know, lo, the kingdom of God is within you. Father, if there's one tonight who's never entered into that kingdom, may this be the time. Lord, for those who are in the kingdom, but they need quickening to their position. We know the word does not quicken once and stop, but it goes on and on, quicken. Brother Bram said, from the first limb to the second limb to the third limb, and it keeps quickening. It did you when you were here. It did Moses. You did to Abraham in a progressive way. You did to our prophet of this same day. Now to us, we know you will do the same. May we not be discouraged between the quickenings, Lord. It may go for months at a time when we receive a great revelation of something, a great empowerment, and it will so illuminate our hearts. And then we may run off of that glory for some time before we receive another one. Or there may be little ones that you'll give us one after another. It's like a reverberation of an earthquake almost, Lord. The seismic action as it reverberates upon the earth. Then, Lord, we'll have a big one. Great revelation. It just seemed like it sends shudders through our souls. We thank you for all of them. We thank you for the big ones, the little ones, the medium-sized ones. We just thank you for all of them, Lord. We just desire to be quickened. Reveal our position to us, Lord. We don't want to be nothing more, nothing less. Only what you thought for us to be. I know back in Pentecost, Lord, I ventured into territory that I wasn't called to handle. And really, it's your grace that kept me. Lord, going on long fast, praying for visitations, praying for things that really I wasn't called to have. And it's your grace that kept demons from me. It's a wonder I hadn't opened myself up to all kinds of things. Because I didn't think I was spiritual, Lord, if I didn't have all them things. But I'm glad that you've helped me, Jesus, to be able to see all I need to do is just surrender and be what I am. Then I can become one of your anointed ones. Maybe just a vice regent over in this part of the country who works under the authority of the King. Anoint each of us, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you love him, children. With all your heart. I mean, don't do it because tradition, but I mean, do you really, really love him? Do you want to find your place as a king, a priest, a daughter of God, a son of God, in God's dominion, in the messianic kingdom, to be what God has called you to be, your position? Nothing more, nothing less. Not to reach beyond your bounds of what God has made you to be. You know, if God has made you, brothers, you know, that are preachers, if God has made you a preacher that preaches four times a month and that's all, be happy with that if that's what God wants you to be. If God's made you one that preaches 30 times a month, well, try to be happy with that if you can. If God's made you a housewife, then be that with all of your heart. God's made you a painter, a farmer, a plumber, or whatever he's made you. Just get in that position. Look, from a woman who had this kind of reputation of having all these husbands and living with a man, shacked up. The term we would use, living with a man. She comes out of town and leaves her house shacked up with a man and comes back changed. Lord, and that testimony had such power that these people, which wouldn't even have nothing to do with her, followed her out and found the Messiah. It must have been unbelievable what happened to that woman. When are we going to learn? It's not what we say. It's not our doctrines. It's not that that's going to impress people. It's what they can see about our lives. Hallelujah. We want to pray over this prayer call. Many of you may know Sister Judy Davis fell this week down the staircase at home and broke a rib and injured her neck and just fell a long way down the staircase. And she was in the hospital and had to do tests and she's still really, really sore. And I just want to pray for her tonight, can't we? Do you believe what you've heard tonight? Do you believe it's the truth? Then if this body here is part of the Messiah church, these signs shall follow the Messiah. Heavenly Father, I preached with this handkerchief tonight near my body. Lord, this body is nothing more than just a piece of clay, a piece of dust. But I hold within me the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I hold within me the life of Elohim himself. Now, Lord Jesus, I take this cross into my hand and I join my faith with these believers. Lord, you see this fall Sister Judy took this week, Lord. Dear God, we join our faith together right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we send your anointing her way, Lord. You see this pain she's been in, dear God. Lord, this rib and Lord, these other fall injuries that she had in the fall in her neck, Lord. The doctor said probably whiplash in her neck because of the fall. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, may you touch her right now. You don't even have to wait till Brother King takes his cloth to her, Lord. But Heavenly Father, right now, while we're joining together in prayer. Hallelujah. May it not be our voice that's heard, but may it be the voice of Jesus. As we pray up through the blood, may the voice of Jesus come up before the throne. And may Father God hear Jesus pleading for Sister Judy. Can it, Lord God, I pray. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Come see who we found. He's truly the Messiah. Come see who we found. He is the Son of God, the manifested Word, written in the Bible. Come see who we found, it is the Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come see who we found, it is the anointed Messiah. Come see who we found, he is the Son of God. Come see who we found, the manifested prophet. He is the Word, the living Word of God. You getting it now? Let's sing it. Whoa, come see who we found. He is the anointed Messiah. A very normal way. I didn't know my life was gonna be changed from forever from that day. I saw a man that was just sitting there, looked like just an ordinary man, till he spoke the words of life to me, and he changed me from that day. Did I say, oh, come see who I found? He is the anointed Messiah.
Messiah. Oh, come see I found. He's told me what I've done. Come see I found. It is a Christos, the anointed one, the mighty God. The Son of God. Philip went to Nathanael, found him in the olive yard there praying. As he waited there and spoke, my friend, we have found him of whom the scriptures have talked about. As Nathanael asked to Philip, where is this anointed one from anyway? Well, have you heard of Happy Valley down in Johnson City, Tennessee? Oh, there can nothing good come from Happy Valley. Well, come and see. Come and see. I have found him. I have found. Messiah, in whom my heart has longed and searched for all the days of my life. I have found him, I have found him, the anointed Messiah. I found in this day, in 2012, I know where Jesus lives. Walking through my garage and opening the door into the house, and there's a light switch here. Go through the hallway like this, 3 or 4 feet. There's another light switch here into the kitchen. You pull open the first drawer like this. There's an orange address book in there. It has all the current addresses in this part of Tennessee where Jesus lives. It has his cell phone number, his home number, and his email address. Glory to God. Can you handle that? If you're planning on leaving here in a rapture, you better get to used to it. You're not going until you can handle those statements. That's going to be one of the things that's going to help you handle a body change. Glory. Oh, praise the Lord. Anybody believes it? Anybody didn't understand it all? But I believe. And I know this. He will make fruitful what I need to understand. What I don't need to understand, I'll just smile and act like I do anyway. I'll say, man, it must be something for those who do understand it. Let's sing together. Can you imagine, my friends, whether it's Central Daylight Time, whether it's Eastern Standard, whether it's New Zealand time, Kenya time. But all of a sudden, the power of God will be released from the throne. It'll filter down to the sixth dimension of the altar of God. The saints will be released. Their theophanies will start permeating this dimension. You and I may get up as a normal day. It may be nighttime here, daylight, 3 a.m, who knows? You may be just going into work or getting off. You may be laying there sound asleep. Or laying there like I do sometimes rolling the bed. But all of a sudden,
something will move over the earth. What will it be? Glory to God. The same power of God that said, let there be light in the beginning. Now he's coming to gather the lights. And a change will start moving about in the earth. Oh, glory. Glory. And when we do rise, if you bury me over here and you say some words over me, and I come out of there, I may appear to you, Brother Rob. I may appear to you. And you say, my Lord, that old guy, Brother Darwin, I seen a picture of him when he was a boy. Good Lord. I like Brother Allen. I like Brother Homer Arnold. Oh, my Lord. And the prophet said, you know, it won't be long. And then all of a sudden, a sweep comes over you. Just like I had a dream one time. And I was standing out there in the vestibule. Me and three or four brothers from here at the church. And I saw one of the brothers in this dream. And he was just disappearing. He was just... It was working its way up on him. And another mind that's just... You know, I looked at myself. And I was. The picture, what it was the picture was fully developing. The acids and the lights and everything was just, it just struck right and it was just, you know, one of them old Kodak Instamatic things that just all of a sudden the picture, the image just starts coming on there. You're pulling off and there it is. That's the way the change would be, except a lot faster. Oh, glory. Will it be for everybody? No, friends. No, no. The resurrection is for the Messiah. What? What's it for, Brother Terry? It's from here down. The resurrection is from here down. Glory! It's from here down. The rest of them get it after the Messiah is raised. The foolish virgin can have hope once the bride goes in a rapture. I gotta close. I'm gonna start again. You imagine, friends, when it takes place and we gather in that dimension. Brother Bram said he knows we'll be looking around. We'll be so much human in those glorified bodies. We'll be looking around and say, Brother so-and-so, make it so-and-so, Brother so-and-so. So he lets us get together. And we're shaking hands with those that have gone on, and hugging one another. Then all of a sudden in that dimension, oh glory, here he appears. For we shall meet him in the air. He wants absolute perfect worship. I don't understand that myself, how that that's going to be, that you're going to be looking around all of a sudden, so-and-so make it, so-and-so, so-and-so. But somehow, once you enter into that final seconds of that, the memory of those who didn't will be gone from you. And it'll be as if though they were not even your family, because in one way they wasn't. And then all of a sudden he'll appear. Who will it be? The King and the Kings. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands. Close our eyes. Look. We've got to be ready once we leave this world for rapture, for worship. You're not going to have worship classes once you leave here. You need to know how to love him now, worship him now. Not in a Pentecostal way or a Baptist way, or really not even in your own way, but in God's way. In God's way. Where we're just able to move aside. Some of you think you ain't worshiping unless you're shouting. Some of the rest of you think it worse unless you're crying. But that's in your own way. We want to worship in His way. What do you want, Lord? What do you want? Oh, what will it be, friends, when we gather there? Oh, my. We bow on our knees and we cry, holy. It'll not be Paul we'll be adoring. Brother Branham. Joshua. It'll be Jesus. Jesus. For He's the one who made it possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just spend a few minutes now and worship to our lovely, wonderful husband, our Redeemer. Oh, hallelujah. What are you going to say to Him? What are you going to say when you get to see Him? Oh, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. I dreamed of a city called glory. So bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, cried holy, the angel all met me there. They showed me from mansion to mansion. I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Let's sing it now. My loved ones, they all knew me well. Glory to God. Glory to God. They showed me, imagine, oh glory, all through heaven. Oh, glory to God. To tell I want to give honor and praise. Glory! The one who died. Everybody now, let's sing it together.
I sing glory to the Son.